This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
Our guest says the funding level for rural schools in Wisconsin is hurting kids, with issues of building maintenance, special education services, and staffing on his mind. He wrote in a recent piece, "The interesting thing about having less is that you can't do more, and you can't even do the same. You can only do less." Luke Francois joins us now. He's the superintendent of the Mineral Point School District. Luke, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Luke, as you see it, where is funding right now for your district, Mineral Point?
Well, funding right now is really flat from the state, in that this year there was no increase into revenue limits, and so therefore there's really no new money coming into schools. The increases that you saw for education were actually passed into property taxes and giving some local community relief, but there's really no new monies to operate schools. And then when we have increased expenditures such as transportation or insurance or salaries and so forth, we don't have any new dollars to cover those increases, so we're actually looking at what I would consider an overall reduction that we had to make this year.
And you write that levels right now are comparable to funding levels from the year 2009. Have things changed much since then in terms of the cost that you have to keep the schools up and running?
Yeah, just like anything in today's world, things cost much more than they did in 2009. Back in the 1990s and into the early 2000s, you could count on a per pupil revenue increase of around $200 to $250. And post Act 10, we received a reduction of $600 per student. And the legislation has put in some increases over the past 4 years to get us back to 2009 limits. But as I just mentioned, everything is more expensive today and continues to go up in pricing. And therefore, we're consistently making reductions in order to try to get back to 2009. Even post or pre-Act 10, we had already made many of those reductions. We had eliminated programs. Our employees were already making a contribution to their health care at 10%. And so we just didn't have the resources available to make further reductions beyond what was already made pre-2010.
And as you talk to your colleagues in education and other public schools in Wisconsin and rural districts, is the Mineral Point situation similar to other schools that you're hearing about?
Yes, Mineral Point represents half of the states or half of the schools across the state that have 1,000 students or less. And we are all in a very similar situation. I think Mineral Point might be in a unique situation in that we were forced to go to referendum upon my arrival. We had a $1.1 million structural deficit just to keep our building doors open and operating as we wanted them to. We were fortunate that we passed a recurring referendum in Mineral Point, which puts us in a unique situation, much like other districts where they were forced to, in order to keep their funding levels consistent, go to the community and ask for support. But not all of our rural schools across the state have been successful in passing referendums, and that puts them in even a worse situation to try to continue to offer opportunities for kids at the same levels as some of our more affluent suburban areas.
You point out that there are some key differences between urban schools and rural schools. What role do you see public schools playing in a rural community?
Well, rural schools have a very unique niche that they can carve out. Certainly, there's personalization that can happen on a very individual level. We have very few students, 750 students, K-12, and so that roughly puts you a class of 55 or 60 students. And that allows us that personalization to really get into and focus on students' needs. But on the other side of that, though, we have probably about six students that have English language learners that are English is not their primary language. And so it's hard to put a full-time teacher in place to service just six kids, where if you have 120 kids, it's easy to put full-time resources in a larger suburban school. So that's some of the challenges that we have to mitigate, is how do we service our smaller population of kids with what will require full-time teaching equivalencies.
And in terms of the community at large, is a rural school more of a focal point in a smaller community than it might be in a big urban center?
I believe in every community, certainly their high school is a big piece of their community, and everybody rallies around the Friday night football games or the basketball games in the winter, but it seems to be even more prevalent in a small rural town because there are not a lot of other opportunities that that you have for kids and families to get together and rally and discuss with the community just the happenings of the day, and it seems to happen more often around sporting events, musical performances, and such and the like. So with that said, you know, I think there is a little bit more of a prominence around small rural schools rallying behind their local districts.
We're talking right now with Luke Francois. He's the superintendent for the Mineral Point School District, talking about challenges facing rural schools as far as funding goes. And you talked a bit about special education, and this is one area that you're particularly concerned about, the flat funding you mentioned being felt. Where are you most worried about the flashpoints there?
Well, certainly our special education population and students that have needs are probably one of our most costly areas to try to fund an appropriate education. And in order to do that, we need certainly the appropriate level of funding, but increased funding as the expenses to service kids that have occupational needs, physical therapy needs, significant disabilities are pretty costly. And for, I believe, the eighth or ninth straight year, the Wisconsin State Legislature has frozen special education funding. And so we haven't seen an increase in quite some time. And again, we're just being asked to do more and more without the appropriate resources to educate kids fully to the extent that we can.
And you point out in your piece that with the new budget, the funding follows the students. So more money could end up going to voucher schools, for instance, and leaving the Mineral Point School District as an example. How do you see that having the potential to impact your school district?
Well, last year, in the state funding formula, right off of the top, money goes towards the voucher program. And then what's remaining is divided among the schools across the state. For Mineral Point, that was a $72,000 loss to the Milwaukee public voucher system. And that was a real significant loss of revenue before we even started to work through some of our challenges. That in itself would put a teacher in place that could support reading efforts, that could support other part-time teachers, that we could make them whole again to support our schools in other ways. So there is a significant opportunity, I think, if we really look at this in a different way.
And again, are you hearing that same kind of thing from other rural schools?
We are, especially in the southwestern part of the state. My counterparts would agree that when we talk about equal access to education and equal opportunities in education, that there certainly isn't an equal opportunity, that some of our affluent, high tax-paying communities just are afforded the ability to have more resources available to educate their kids than small rural communities that maybe don't have the same property tax base.
And any talk about maybe consolidating some of these smaller districts, pooling resources, and using that as a way to make the money go further?
Certainly, consolidation is something that comes up in rural schools, but the hub of a community really is its school district. And as soon as you start to talk about folding community school districts together, you start to lose your true identity about what that means to be from Mineral Point or from some of the area schools. And so certainly there's a financial upside to that, but there's a community resistance, I believe, to lose their identity into something that's a bigger conglomerate.
Now, building maintenance, I know, is a concern for you, and you mentioned air conditioning in the summer. What kinds of things do you think might have to wait if the funding isn't there?
Well, there's many things that have waited and will continue to wait. We're no longer on a parking lot replacement schedule. We now have boilers that are aging that need to be replaced. We literally can see flames through the side of our hot water heater if we went down into our basement. We have asbestos underneath our tiles in the elementary building that was built in the 60s, and we are only able to afford to probably replace two of those rooms a year, and we've got another 12 to go, so six more years, and maybe we'll get caught up on some of our capital expenditures. But there needs to be a significant shift in how we fund schools, especially capital projects, in order for us to be more successful in keeping a 21st century environment learning for our kids.
And let's talk a little bit about that, the environment for the kids. Now, these things you could look at and say, well, they're cosmetic. It might not be the prettiest school, but the important thing is the learning. How does that impact the learning?
Yeah, so many of our learning spaces are really very different than when we went to school, and specifically with technology and some of the increases that are needed there to make sure that we have enough technology for our kids to access tablets or computers, as well as making sure our wireless infrastructure is strong, that we have good connections, that we have good uptime, because nothing will stop a teacher with using technology quicker than if a lesson goes down. So those are some significant investments that need to happen in order for us to stay current and traditional, as well as just learning spaces that are bright and airy and colorful for kids.
Now, at the end of your piece, you write that Wisconsin is no longer fulfilling its constitutional mandate to provide the financial basis for equal educational opportunity for all kids. Going back to the constitutional mandate, what do you mean by that?
Well, in about 15 years ago, Vincent versus Voight had a decision, and that court case basically stated that the current equalized funding formula for the state of Wisconsin was constitutionally sound. But if it's constitutionally sound, then we wouldn't see the disparities that we're seeing across the state with regards to the amount of revenue per student that schools have available to them. And we simply, again, get back down to, we just simply can't offer the same things that some of our larger school counterparts are offering. And in that equalization aid formula, it's very complex, but it simply just doesn't afford the same opportunities. And there's lots of areas that rural schools across the state could point to that says, we just simply don't have that in our school because we can't afford it.
And Luke, just briefly, what would you like to see change in the coming years?
Well, certainly, the can has been kicked down the road for many years with addressing the equalization aid formula. And Dr. Evers, our state superintendent, has offered a solution, which is called fair funding for our schools. And I think for once and for all, our state just really needs to fix the funding formula. It's been something that has been talked about and studied, and I participated in testimony on the Rural Schools Task Force, but nothing has ever come out of it to actually make a change in how we fund schools.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Luke Francois is the superintendent for the Mineral Point School District. He joined us to talk about challenges facing funding for rural schools.
I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.